Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. It's turning into a court battle. The State Department of Human Services had planned to cut thousands of Michiganians from the welfare rolls on October 1st, but a challenge by the Center for Civil Justice delayed the move. Now, after another department notification of termination of welfare benefits, the center once again objecting. To get the latest on this situation, I'm joined by Jackie Doig, a senior staff attorney for the Center for Civil Justice, who argued the case before the court yesterday. Welcome to the program, Jackie.
Thank you.
So what's the Department of Human Services doing wrong here? How were their initial notifications lacking, and how was the second round of notices also insufficient?
Well, let me start by saying the first round of notices, which was sent on September 12th, was inadequate because it simply failed to provide sufficient detail about the reasons for the cases being closed, and it relied on a policy that had not yet been published and was not available to anyone who might want to review and find out what the rules of the game were. And so the judge found both of those things when he issued the injunction on October 4th. Now today, actually there was no argument yesterday. Today the judge had a telephone conference with the attorneys. There was not any argument on the issue, and he later issued a ruling denying our motion, which, you know, we had requested that the court provide for an order requiring the state to provide additional information and clarification, because we still felt that the orders that, or the notices that went out on October 11th were still quite confusing to clients and did not provide adequate information.
So the court decided that the second round of notices are appropriate and do provide the information that was lacking the first time around, and they're going forward with the process?
Exactly.
Now, what is it that you feel is lacking? For, I mean, in terms of the notification, these people are being told, right, that, their welfare benefits are ending. And what else is it that they're not being told that they should know?
The primary concerns that we had were that the notices do not tell recipients when the clock for counting months begins to run. And that's particularly confusing here because the state is actually operating under two different sets of time limits, one of which is the 48-month limit that's in state law, and that clock began to run on October 1st, 2007. But the state also is applying a 60-month time limit policy that was never debated or adopted in the state legislature, and that clock began to run in October of 1996, according to the state's policy. So we think that's a really important piece of information that families who are being threatened with closure of their case on November 1st, that they need to know that. That's a really critical piece of information.
A 60-month clock, so one that's more generous than this four-year time span.
Well, one would think that, just looking at the number 48 versus the number 60, but in fact, it's much less generous because the clock for that, as I say, began to run 11 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And under the 48-month time limit, the legislature was very careful to pass exemptions or clock stoppers to make sure that months when a family is on cash assistance because the parent is unable to work, as determined by the department, that those months don't count toward the 48-month clock.
So you're saying people are being taken off the rolls based on the not only the 48-month clock but the 60-month clock?
In fact, what the state filed today show that only 100 families in Michigan are being taken off because of the 48-month time limit that the legislature passed. The remaining 11,000 families that are going to be cut off on November 1st are being cut off based on that 60-month policy that was never adopted by the state legislature.
How is it that they were able to institute a policy then without the approval of the legislature?
they just put it out, and they're cutting people off based on it.
I see. And you brought this up to the judge, and the judge viewed that as not being relevant to the situation?
What the federal judge said was that that's an issue of state law, whether the state agency has state authorization to do this. And he declined to hear that issue. He declined jurisdiction. So if that issue is going to be decided, it's going to be decided in state court.
And what does that mean? Is it going to be, does the center plan to present this in state court? Or?
Well, we're discussing that with our clients right now. You know, frankly, we've been pretty busy trying to get the injunction in federal court. And now we're just beginning to hear from the families who received the new notices. So we're taking a hard look at the facts of all of those cases, and you know, we'll be making decisions about whether to file that case.
I'm talking to Jackie Doig, a senior staff attorney for the Center for Civil Justice. You know, Maura Corrigan, the head of DHS, was on the program last week. She said that of the 11,000 folks that received the notices, only 300 filed appeals, and that the department has a system ready to quickly process those appeals. Doesn't that indicate that the vast majority of those notified are, in fact, ready to lose their benefits?
I think it indicates that they don't know what their rights are, and are, you know, many of them are trying desperately to get legal advice. The very low number of requests based on the first notices, which were in September, is not surprising given the fact that the notices gave so little information and were so constitutionally inadequate, as the court found.
Ms. Corrigan also said that welfare is an addiction for some people and that it's important to draw a line in the sand to encourage those who've been relying on the system to, for an extended period of time, to get out there and pursue becoming self-reliant. Doesn't she have a point there?
Well, I think that when we look at the state legislature's approach, which was to look at who really is not pursuing self-sufficiency, who is able to do so, we find that very few families fall in that category. Only 100 families have hit the 48-month time limit. Why is that? That's because most families are working or are unable to work when they're on cash assistance. They're either working part-time and not making enough to get off of cash assistance, or they have barriers like disability, their own disabilities or the disabilities of a child or a spouse that really prevent them from being employable. And the department has always recognized that and said they were exempt from work requirements.
Mm-hmm.
But why turn around and now cut those people off with no warning based on looking retroactively back to 1996, 15 years back? I mean, I think the other important thing to know is that the average length of time that someone is on cash assistance is just a little over a year. It's about 15 months is the average length of time that a family stays on cash assistance. So most of these families, they move on and off as they're able to find work, oftentimes lose work either because of, you know, the temporary nature or seasonal nature of the work, or because they have barriers like sick children,
mm-hmm.
Like disabilities, like vehicles that don't run, you know, any number of things that prevent them from keeping work on a continuous basis. We know how tough that is for everybody in Michigan right now.
Well, certainly tough times all around. Jackie Doig, a senior staff attorney for the Center for Civil Justice. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.